these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I am your co-host, David Golden, from OregonSportsNews.com. With me is my co-host, Jake the Half Black Attack Smith. What's going on, man?
What's up? Let's get into it. Let's just jump right into it.
Jump right into it.
Let's go right to Bellator 200.
All
right,
cool.
Just get it out of the way.
So, right. Bellator 200 in the books.
Yeah,
it's done. There were some good fights, man.
You know, there was, and, the one gripe I have, I think that everyone has with Bellator, is the tape delay.
Yeah, that's kind of whack.
It's hard. Like, I saw someone tweet out, they're like, you know, even though I avoided most of the spoilers, going and watching it knowing the fights have already happened, it kind of does make it seem less important.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I get that.
You know, yeah, and I was like, you know what, he's kind of right. Like, I felt like there was kind of, like, not as much anticipation or excitement in the fights that you would if it's live, you know? Yeah.
I mean, that one, so I recently switched from like just from a regular cable provider to a Dish provider.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the things I was excited about, was I could watch Bellator live again, because yeah, on my regular cable provider, I couldn't. It was 9 o'clock. And,
right,
and even though the fights had already happened. Mm-hmm. So when I have someone I know fighting, like if you're fighting and I can't see your fucking fight till 9, I have to stay off of the internet for sure.
Right.
Or I have to not even look at my phone. Cause what if you sent me a message like, hey, did you see that shit?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. I can't, yeah,
you know, so that sucks. So I was excited like when I would have that. So this one, I didn't realize it was tape delayed, with it being in London, which is so stupid, man. Like,
I don't get it.
Well, like the UFC puts on shows overseas and they make people fight at like 4 a.m. They're like, just get in there at 3 a.m. and fight. Shut up. It's got to be on prime time in America.
Yeah.
Like, which, I mean, selfishly, I want that, mm-hmm, you know, but there are other times when fights that are international, they put them on at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I
will watch it live if it's at 1 o'clock,
yeah,
but you can't have it on a Friday at 1 o'clock because no
one's
going to see
it. I just feel like
it.
Bellator doesn't have that leverage.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like the UFC does right now.
Uh-huh.
Like the UFC can do that and fans are going to show up. Bellator is in a place where they're not as big as the UFC, right? And so they can't put on a show like that and expect people to still show up to the venue.
Yeah.
Like it's just until they start really pumping out stars, really start hyping people up that deserve to be hyped up, that's not going to happen, you know? So
yeah,
it's a bummer, but you know, I think it was a good card.
I think
the
so
past
too.
Couple ones have been pretty good for people who are just kind of turning in for those kind of fans like, oh, finish, you know? So, I hope we're getting some things steamrolling and maybe 2019 we might get a live show. I don't know.
Well, I mean, so if you have Dish Network or DirecTV, you get it live now, like the regular shows. But if they do this overseas tape delay thing, that's gonna fail.
Yeah.
But what I liked about this card was that they didn't open it up with fights, with a fight that's somebody that not a lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
Like your fight was the curtain jerk on the card you were on, right? And like that's cool for people who know you.
Yeah.
But for the other people who don't know you and the guy you fought, like they're like, okay, so here's a couple guys, what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus this card, Phil Davis
right
like,
away.
Like, boom, right out of the gate. And that was, when that started, I turned it on and I looked over at my wife. I was like, whoa, look at this. First fight.
Yeah, that was a good move. I mean, it was a good fight, too. I was very impressed with Vinton. You know, I thought his counter wrestling was great. You know, he made some mistakes, but it was a good fight.
You know, in the first round, I didn't really, I wasn't all that impressed with either guy in round one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was more like a feeling out process.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the end of round one where Phil Davis kind of put it on a little bit,
uh-huh,
that it even seemed like either guy wanted the first round that bad. I mean, there were some kicks back and forth, but like it really didn't seem like there was a lot of pressure from either fighter in the first round. I was kind of surprised that neither of them wanted to take over. And John McCarthy mentioned it. He said, you know, Litton Vassell needs to take the center of the cage. He needs to make sure that he's keeping it in striking distance where he needs to be and on and on. And really, the first moments of the fight that were like high energy was when he caught kicks of Phil Davis and went in for that grappling exchange a little bit. And so I was kind of I see where John McCarthy's coming from, because if you're a good striker and you know you're against the guy who's a Division I national champion, you obviously don't want to be grappling with them. But it, like, you can be in striking range, but if you're not doing any damage or if you're not pressing the action, you know, you may not be winning a decision. You're certainly not winning over the audience, because I was a little off put by the first half of that first round.
Well, I mean, what I was thinking about, honestly, when I was watching that, because I know exactly what you're saying, but, you know, you're heavyweight, 205, all it takes is one shot, man, you know?
That's true.
And you got to think, you know, Vinton, he's not a wrestler. He's from England, right? He's not.
Yeah, he's got good counter wrestling.
He does. No, he improved. I was impressed. I was like, damn. You know, he even took down, you know, Phil Davis there for a minute. But when you're fighting a wrestler, it's hard to commit to your strikes unless you are 100% confident in your grappling or your counter grappling. So maybe that's where, like, you know, he had a little bit of like a, I don't know, not gun shock, but, you know, just a little hesitant. Just you know, he didn't want to. I don't know. Well, they're both not very good strikers, honestly. They're both pretty sloppy. But,
well, and Phil Davis is notorious for having kind of boring fights. I mean, that, so he wins this fight by knockout, but it's only his like fourth KO victory,
right?
And he's got like 25 fights, you know, which isn't a big deal, but
two
it's
of
like,
them, he's already got two in Bellator. Look at that,
you know.
Yeah, he has so, two knockouts. Good
so,
for him.
You know, I mean, there's something to that, but at the same time, you want to see two guys who are supposed to be championship caliber fighters, at least for, you know, Linton Vassell. Like, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Who knows what he would do in the UFC? But obviously, Phil Davis in the UFC was a top caliber guy. Like, he was never a top one or two guy. You know, like,
he was top five for sure.
But he could get in there with anybody. Like, you could have put him in a title fight against, you know, against a lot of people and do
Johnson.
Well. Yeah, survived Anthony Johnson. I would like to see him. I mean, I know he'd get smoked against John Jones, but I'd still like to see it.
I would like to see it too.
Two high level wrestlers, you know, like, I'd like to see it. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't say the same thing for Linton Vassell. It doesn't mean I don't respect him, but I just, you know, when I think about the level, I just assume Phil Davis is a step above him.
Yeah. You know? Well,
even though their records are very similar.
I feel like Linton would, I think he'd be top 15 in the UFC.
Sure, but there's a difference between being top 15 and being top 5.
Oh, no, for sure.
And Phil 100%. Davis was definitely
there's
a top
levels.
5 guy.
There's
at that
levels
time.
To this shit. Like, that, you say that about anybody. There's just levels to this shit.
Yeah.
Regardless of who you are, you know, it's just. But I mean, he made it as competitive as he could for as long as he could until he got caught. He doesn't have a good chin. I mean, I think he's been knocked out, what, three times? I think every one of his losses is a knockout or a submission.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I think he had six losses and maybe four were by knockout and two were by submission. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So, I mean, you know.
But, you know, the fight was cool. Like, the fight was cool. And going into the second round, I was kind of wondering who was gonna push the action and who was going to come out, you know, looking a little better.
Yeah.
And obviously, the end of round two, Phil Davis is looking pretty good. But by the very end of the round, like he landed a couple good knees. Like he looked like he was in a good position to maybe, you know, to maybe try to win the fight in the second round if he really pressed it. But he by the very end of the round, I thought it was a little bit weird that he looked kind of tired to me. Like, I noticed his hands were dropping. Whoa. And I was a little bit surprised because it's not as if they were out there like grinding rest, like he
Dude,
was grinding for takedowns, but man, he looked pretty tired
when they were pummeling and all that position wrestling. That is the most exhausting thing ever. I got tired watching it because like, unless you've done it yourself, you can't appreciate that grind. Like, if I was looking at Vinton's face, because I'm like, okay, I think Phil Davis, you know, that's what Phil Davis does, right? So, you know, in the wrestling room, he's probably taking down everyone. That's what he goes to. And
well, even in bad positions in this fight, he was taking Linton Vassell down. He was like,
still switching,
you know,
right?
Yeah, he had Vassell has him in like a, practically has him down on a double leg.
Yeah,
he's pressing and forward, and Phil Davis just like, eh, I'm just gonna slide my legs back, turn over, and flip
you
over my head.
Did you see Vessel's sweep that he did on Phil in the first round?
Yeah,
that was clean,
pretty slick.
Clean. To me, I'm most impressed with him, even though he lost. I just knowing that he didn't have the background that Phil Davis does in grappling, you know, wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to transition and get himself back up and not keep himself stuck. Like, he didn't give up, you know? Yeah. So I think that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. It was interesting that Linton Vassell is the one who opened up with kicks, but Phil Davis is the one who finishes the fight with a head kick knockout.
Yeah.
And you could see, we were talking about this before we started recording, you could see Phil Davis setting that up early on, like throwing the low kick, and Vassell was reaching for it.
Yeah, he kept reaching, and then boom, came right upstairs with it. It was perfect. It was spot on. Just slap.
Yeah, I mean, he nearly landed it in the second round. He did land a high kick in the second round, but it just wasn't the same one. Yeah, it just wasn't flush. Then round three, he hits that kick. Yeah.
Did you see... Okay, so did you hear about the Jersey... Well, he's not Jersey Shore, but the English version of Jordy Shore? That guy? Did you see that fight?
Yeah, I did.
Well, there's some fuckery with that fight that everyone's
because guy looked like he went he faked going out. if you saw Bellator 200, there's a fight between a guy covered in tattoos and from England and another foreign guy, and they were the guy covered in tattoos was like buddies with all the British version of the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, he was actually on the reality show himself.
Oh.
So that's where he gets his claim to fame. And you know, they're up against the cage, and you know, he gets hit with a hard knee, and the homeboy starts teeing off, and then the Jersey Shore guy like is swinging back and clips him, right? The guy goes down, and they, you know, they end up in this weird position. The guy shoots in for a double. Homeboy goes for a guillotine. Now he's doing a standing guillotine.
But he had like he had a standing guillotine. It was locked tight. No arm in. That was tight.
Yeah, it was tight. But the guy maybe had it on for 5-6 seconds tops.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then homeboy went completely stiff. And then he just like let go of it, and like he falls over. It was just, I don't know.
It was so weird. So he had his arms up like he was going to tap, and then all of a sudden he like throws both his arms down as if he went out. And I turned and I looked at Sarah. I was like, he did not just go out. That was fake as shit.
Yeah, he just wanted out.
Yeah. Just tap, dude. There's no shame in your game if you tap, man. He's got the choke locked up. You don't have to hold out until you pass out. That's stupid.
The thing that bothers me is he didn't even try to fight the hands, for one.
No.
He didn't try to do anything.
Well, he knew he was fucked. He knew he was fucked. Just tap, dude.
Well, even... You're not actually fucked in that position because you're standing. Like, there's things you can do to get out of that.
Yeah, you know? But he had him up on his tippy toes. Like, he had arched his back and curled back, and he had him up on his toes. I mean, you know, I mean, it's still tight. Like,
watch Cain Velasquez Jr. Dos Santos the last time. What did he do? He gator rolled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Junior Dos Santos knocked himself out, hit his head. So there's things you could, if you really are fighting and you really want to survive, there's things you could have done.
Yeah, but he straight up goes,
I'm bringing back the plank, and just went straight, you know. You remember that when people used to go around planking?
Yeah.
That's what he did. He's like, I'm going to plank in the Bellator cage, you know.
It was pretty weak.
It was, there was some fuckery.
Yeah,
definitely some fuckery. And they fought at a 163-pound catchweight.
Yeah, even though one of them weighed 164.2 pounds. What kind of catchweight is that? You're fighting at a catchweight and you still miss weight? Give me a break.
Fucking stupid, man.
So stupid.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. But the main event for Bellator 200, Gegard Mousasi.
Are we skipping?
Oh.
Because there's definitely one I want to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
David Rickles, this motherfucking ass. I am very upset with him. I am so upset with this guy.
An MVP.
I wanted him to win. I was pulling for Rickles. I'm like, you know, Rickles. For one, I thought Rickles was like 37. I didn't know he's only 29.
Younger, yeah.
He's living a rough life. So he fights MVP. And, you know, he does this whole, like, oh, I'm going to take your heart gimmick, you know, doing this thing.
Dude, before the fight, they're like, you know, when they get up, they're having their little face off, and the ref's giving his, like, brief little rule.
Yeah, he was John.
He was talking shit. I was like, ooh, man, I kind of like that. That's pretty tough. Like, talking shit to MVP, that's cool. That's a change of pace, right? Like, really in his face.
But then, you know, but then what before the fight even starts, you know, the ref goes, you know, you ready thing. Dave Rickles starts dancing. Okay, starts dancing before the fight even starts. Right?
Yeah, he's like impersonating MVP a little bit.
But MVP doesn't start dancing until he's already in, you know, in combat. You know, it's kind of one of those, like, now you're getting too cocky, right? But anyways, that's besides the point. What I'm mad about is this. You talk about, I'm going to take your heart and this and that, whatever, right? But then you quit? Huh?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Well, you know what? It says a lot about MVP.
No.
Says a lot about MVP.
Look, he MVP looked like, is legit.
He looked like a killer. He looked like old school Anderson Silva in there.
It's too fast.
He couldn't touch him. He was doing exactly what he wanted to do. He was pressuring mm-hmm. him. MVP was moving backwards. He had good, Rickles had good lateral movement. He was going side to side. He was doing everything but he could not land a punch.
I will tell you why he couldn't land
a punch. What, he hit him three times?
He couldn't land anything because if you watch, okay, so he's doing his lateral movement, whatever, right? But whenever he was going to engage, he would show it every time. I could tell right what he was going to do. He would step with his back leg first, straight in a straight line. And he's just a slow guy. He's not fast. He's not very athletic. Sure. So when he does that, he's stepping and he's going to throw he's trying to throw a left kick, right? Left body kick, like a switch kick, but kind of Dutch style. So you try to mask it with your movement when you're stepping forward. But he does it so bad and so poorly that he telegraphs everything. And when he throws his kicks coming up. They don't come
horizontal.
They don't come across. Yeah. So whenever you're doing that, you're telegraphing, and you have a guy who's lanky for one. So you're already on the outside. Now you're stepping into his range, and you're slow as shit. Yeah, you're gonna get tagged up, buddy. So I don't know, man. Like, and another thing too is when you had him against the cage, you have to just say fucking bite down and get in there and just
Totally. You have to push him against the cage, right?
Like, you have to if you don't have the speed to match him or the agility, you just have to just bite down in your mouthpiece. You're going to have to throw some bombs and just hope for the fucking best. So I don't know, man. David Rickles, I don't know. I'm just disappointed because he got caught. Like, I don't know. Did he break his orbital?
I don't know, man, but he... The punch that ended the fight, MVP throws just a miraculously powerful straight right, and it looked terrible when it landed. I was like, oh no, that looked it hurt. You immediately see blood coming down, mm-hmm. and like it must have been the cut must have been in a bad spot because it didn't look like it was on his eyebrow. It looked like it was below his eyebrow, maybe above his eye, but below his eyebrow.
Yeah,
and Rickles immediately is like shaking his finger, like I'm done. Like, I cannot see out of this eye.
I don't think it was the blood, though.
No, I don't think it was the blood. I'm saying, like, he said he couldn't see.
Oh,
like,
really?
He mouthed, I can't see out of this eye. So, like, you know, if you can't see out of the eye and the dude's already hitting you at will, well, good luck protecting your entire left side of your face if you can't see. Like,
I've had it where fights where I've been punched in the face or the eye, my vision's gone. Like, I've had it where, like, I can't see out of my eye, but... I don't know. I guess you just kind of deal with it. I don't know. I don't know, man. Everyone's different. I can't judge him. I mean, he's probably smart. He's probably going to, he's going to fight another day.
I think it's a smart move, right? Because like I was saying last week, like he gets knocked out relatively easily.
Yeah.
He had already been knocked down in that fight.
Yeah.
MVP put it on him, put it on him hard. And
it's just embarrassing.
And MVP could have finished the fight when he put him down. He could have just got on top of him and finished him.
He
just
stood there
and was like, just get up. I'm just going
to
toy with you.
Yep.
And then he lands that right and Rickles is like, no thanks.
He's like, all right, man, we get it. We get it.
Like, you know, like the fight community is not gonna outwardly. A lot of people, I would say, are not gonna outwardly show a lot of respect to a guy who like walks away in a fight where you're on your feet. You still have a chance to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think it was a bad decision on his part. Like, look, you know, you're outclassed. If he in his heart felt like, okay, there's no way I can win this fight. You know, whatever. Like that's a decision he has to make.
That's a decision he has to make and he has to live with. And he deserves to get ridiculed for it just because of the shit he said beforehand. If he didn't say anything beforehand and he just was just a fighter and then that happened, I don't think I wouldn't be saying anything. I wouldn't be like, oh, fucking David Rickles, you know, he quit, blah, blah, blah. But you said you're going to take this man's heart. You said, you know, you did all this mockery. And then when it came down to it, he took your heart. That's what happened. He took your heart and you bowed out.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I say if he really couldn't see out of that eye and it was something like he had never felt before. All right, man. No reason for you to stay out there and get your ass beat. But, you know, the other thing is wait till the round ends maybe.
Yeah.
Like, throw it in the corner.
Or, hey, man.
Just avoid him for the rest of the round.
Get punched in the, you know. Curl up in a ball. Just take your tiki out. I don't know.
or pretend you get choked unconscious.
Or try something, man. Just don't start waving your hand and walking away.
Like, and it, it was weird too. It wasn't like, it wasn't like, you know, when you wave off of, like, when fighters say I'm done, they like put their arms in front of, they like crisscross their arms in front of their face like I'm done.
Yeah.
And he wagged his finger in the air, like almost to say like, no, that didn't hurt.
That's what I thought he was doing.
That's what I thought too. And that's why I was like, what is the ref doing? Yeah. And he's like, I'm done. And the ref's like, you're done?
Yeah. It was weird.
The ref was confused.
Yeah, I thought he was talking to the crowd. I thought he was like, ah, nah, it was nothing. Nah, homeboy was like, nah, fuck this. I want out. But, yeah. Hey, you know, whatever. You know what? I didn't realize how big David Rickles is either. I didn't realize he was 6 foot.
Yeah, pretty good size. Pretty good size.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll have to fight him. And then he can try to take my heart or something.
Or something. Or you'll punch him in the eye and he won't be able to see and he'll stop fighting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although, you may hit hard.
If I were to ever fight him or a man and they started dancing beforehand, like, I'm going to make sure after I knock you out or whatever I do, I'm going to embarrass the fuck out of you. Like, there's, if you're making a mockery of me like that, oh, here's a funny little thing. Remember Hottie? When I knocked him out for the knucklehead thing, me and him were going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And then I jizzed on him.
Oh, yeah. You made,
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. You get jizzed on. So don't fucking dance before you fight me or talk shit, because I'm going to jizz on you.
Not literally.
No. Literally. I'm going to find you. I'm going to find
Oh, man. Hilarious.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. That just rubbed me wrong. That's just something I had to get off my chest.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bummer, but, you know, it kind of highlights just how good MVP is.
He's legit.
I was excited to see him against someone of a higher caliber.
That's the fight. That's going to be a good one.
Paul Daly MVP is the fight.
Which, you know,
that's what Paul Daly wants. He wants to be out there against a striker.
I'm trying to think about it. Like, how do you see that going? Do you think it's going to be any better? I see Paul Daly getting fucked up.
It depends, right? Like, it really depends, because Paul Daly is a smart fighter. He may talk a lot of trash, mm-hmm. and he may, he may talk smack on people who are taking them down and holding them down or whatever. But he's not a complete idiot. If he gets out there and MVP is whooping his ass, but for some reason he realizes he can take him down, he's totally going to take him down. Like,
he has resorted to wrestling before, hasn't he?
Have to. Yeah. It's mixed martial arts. It's not. I mean, if you just want to strike with him, do the kickboxing thing like you did before. Do the Bellator kickboxing. The problem is no one's going to watch it because no one besides me likes kickboxing,
which is weird. That is so
but,
weird.
But, you know, it would be a good fight. I mean, certainly the first round would be all striking, right? You know,
Well, I'm trying to look at it as like, okay, so MVP is fast and he's elusive and he's lanky, right?
He's super long.
Paul Daly is pretty compact. He's what, maybe 5'9", 5'10"? And, he's explosive, right? So he needs to get inside and throw these bombs. But how does he manage to get inside? Is he... Because I can't imagine Paul Daly kind of just, you know, keeping his head down, tucking his chin and just kind of coming in, you know, like
he
Tyson.
He kind of does, though, right? Like, he does this thing where he, like, steps in and he throws, like, wings looping that left shots. Hook. Yeah, he throws those hooks. But he does it, like, in a really looping fashion and kind of keeps his head away. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But his problem is going to be that MVP can get out. Just his movement, his footwork, and his speed are going to prevent you from hitting him. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get frustrated. And what's going to happen to Paul Daly is he's going to complain that MVP is running from him.
Yeah.
And then MVP is going to step in with a clean jab and just pop. Crack him in the eye, and then Daly's going to get mad, and it's going to happen again and again and again, and then he's going to hit him with the left jab and then throw a big straight right, and Daly will go down if he wants to stay on his feet like that. The other thing to remember, though, is Paul Daly is a pretty accurate striker, even though he throws those looping shots. You look back at his fight like with Nick Diaz, and they're fighting on the feet, and Nick Diaz is like, his boxing is really clean, like, or at least it used to be, right? We haven't seen him fight in so long. But in his fight with Paul Daly, even Daly dropped him.
Oh, yeah, he clipped him.
And then Nick Diaz was like, okay, let's just take this to the ground. I'm way better at jiu-jitsu than you will ever be, and I'll just throw this armbar on you and call it a day.
No. That's not how he
was. Was it not an armbar?
No. He beat him up on the feet.
No, he choked him out.
No, he didn't.
Did he not?
I will bet you money.
Oh, man.
He got up. What happened was he got up. They're up against the cage. Nick Diaz teed off on him, broke the body, blah blah blah. Came upstairs, clipped.
Oh, that's right. I'm mixing it up. No, you're right. I'm mixing it up with
Cyborg.
Cyborg. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mixing up my Nick Diaz victories. There's so many.
Just too many. Too many. But yeah, okay. So the main event, Gegard versus Caballo.
We were butchering it, but we'll just go with Carvalho. It's
Carvalho,
fine.
Okay.
But it looked like, but Carvillo, Carvalho.
I don't know. I don't even know who he is. But Masasi, that was easy work.
Yeah, man, he put it on him.
It's too easy.
It was pretty dominant. It was about as dominant as you can get.
Yeah. Imagine this. Musasi, Rory McDonald.
Oh, I can't wait.
That'd be interesting.
No, it'll be very interesting. Right? I can't wait.
But I think that'd be a good fight.
But Musasi looked really good, man. Yeah. Like, he went in there. He was taking that guy down.
Sliced right through his guard.
Oh, that was easy for him. Probably the best moment was he had like this beautiful inside leg trip that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it was so sexy. It was so clean. He just grabbed onto him. He latched on. He had such control over that guy's body. Like,
yeah.
Like as soon as he got a grip around his waist, it was mm-hmm. like not letting you go.
Yeah, like homeboy kind of just knew like, ah shit. Like I said, like we were saying earlier, man, there's levels to this shit. There's just levels, man. And you know, everyone's going to have to step their game up now that we're acquiring these free agents. We're making some moves. Everyone's going to have to step their shit up. Like mm-hmm. it's not the Bellator of old, you know?
No, for sure. Well, and we talked about it last week, letting Musasi walk from the UFC. That was stupid on their part.
Which I'm surprised isn't getting more attention. You know, because everyone made a big deal about Rory, right? Like, oh, he could possibly. I think
even though that was the one where it was like, why are you going to give him all the money? Like he never. I don't think he ever impressed the way Musasi impressed.
No. But like, if you listen to like Joe Rogan, right? He talks about it. He's like, well, Rory McDonald could be possibly the best welterweight in the world. What makes you think Musasi couldn't be either? You know, he just finished Chris Weidman, no?
Yeah,
his last UFC fight.
But I don't think Musasi could make 170.
No. I'm saying 85.
Oh yeah.
I'm saying, why isn't he getting recognized as possibly absolutely. One of the best? Because if you, Musasi versus Whitaker, I think that'd be a great fight.
Oh, it'd be an incredible fight.
Right?
No, it'd be incredible. I would have loved to see Musasi fight Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
Like, Yoel Romero is such a weird guy to me. Like, Romero goes in there against, what's the dude? The dude who
Chakra?
Nah, the Army Ranger guy.
Tim Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes in there against Tim Kennedy, and mm-hmm. Tim Kennedy was working him. And in between the second and third round, Yoel Romero wouldn't get off his stool.
Yeah.
And they had to, like, pull him off his stool. Dude, any referee with
did you hear
worth
why?
His watch, who cares?
Well, no, I mean, Big John McCarthy's the one that cleared this up, too.
No.
But you didn't hear him?
No, I didn't. Okay. But my point of view is, if you can't get off the stool when it's time to fight,
yeah.
The fight is over.
No. But the see, this is where the Big John thing comes in. Big John takes blame for it, because I guess Big John actually instructed him to stay, because what happened is they put like a glob of or the cutman put like a big ass glob of Vaseline, and he had to clean it off. And Big John was trying to get him to come back in to get it cleaned off. And like, they weren't letting the guy in or something, so he allowed him to sit on the stool, so that's why it prolonged.
But there's even a point where he's like, get up, and he's still not getting up. Like, dude, get off the stool. If you don't get off the stool, the fight is over. You can't stand up, and then you go in, and because you're like, you're this like freak athlete, then you knock out your opponent, and the fight's over. So my thought is the way Tim Kennedy fights, mm-hmm. like the way he wins, when he's grinding out an opponent, and he's, you know, I mean, obviously you're not gonna. I don't remember that fight exactly how it went. I mean, he was working him on
actually,
the feet.
I think Tim Kennedy was actually getting beat up in that fight until what happened is this, which is a lot of controversy on how Tim Kennedy rocked Yoel at the end of that second round, just because he grabbed onto his gloves, the inside of his gloves.
Yeah,
he held on the inside of gloves, and
but Yoel. But he had rocked him.
Well, he had his gloves, and then while he was holding the gloves, that's when he started throwing those uppercuts.
He started throwing the uppercuts. That's
when he
started. Right.
That's when he caught him.
But nevertheless,
it was actually a really good fight.
The issue was, though, like, or not the issue, the comparison I'm trying to make is, if Tim Kennedy is controlling you and landing shots,
yeah,
Gegard is going to be able to control you and land shots, is in my head.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
however, we saw a different Yoel Romero in his last fight than we had seen before, so he's always surprising
people. He's just a freak, man.
He's totally a freak athlete.
40-something.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But still, I would like to see Musasi fight him. I'd like to see Musasi fight Whittaker. You know, whatever. But this is all wishing. I'm done even thinking about it.
Because maybe one day.
Now he's the Bellator champ. So we're going to see
cross promotion.
Maybe. But now we're going to see him fight. Now we're going to see him fight potentially Rory McDonald. If Rory McDonald wants to move up and fight him. He says does. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, I don't see... I don't see Bellator doing that right away, just because, like, okay, now we have a possibility of having a welterweight and a middleweight champion, right? One guy. A possibility of having our light heavyweight be the heavyweight champion as well.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, all right, well.
Put yourself in a bad position in a
way. A little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're not afraid to take risks, though. You know, that's the thing with them is... they're willing to make whatever fight fans want, you know, regardless of whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you know what Scott Coker wants.
Yeah.
He wants Fedor to win the heavyweight title. He's the biggest Fedor homer there is.
Yeah.
He loves Fedor more than anything. It's ridiculous. He made I got one right behind you. He made the Fedor Emelianenko goat bobblehead doll. It says right on it, goat on the top, greatest of all time. Yeah. Right on the top of the box. It says goat.
Shit.
You know, I mean... like he loves Fedor more than anything, you know. Fedor can do no wrong in his eyes. So, you know, that's what he's dreaming of. He doesn't want Ryan Bader to be the heavyweight champion. He wants Ryan Bader to stay the 205-pound champion. Yeah. You know, he wants that division to be relevant. But
I think Matt Mitrione would be a good heavyweight champion.
He would be a good heavyweight champion, but Matt Mitrione has up and down moments in fights. Like,
yeah, he does.
Like
that Roy Nelson.
I always wonder just how serious he takes it. Like, you know, like I always wonder, because I look at him and I feel like he is dependent on his athleticism so much, because he's super athletic. You know, you don't get a lot of NFL caliber guys who come into mixed martial arts. Just doesn't happen that often. He's super fast. But like, you look at his build and you're like, could you do a little more work maybe? Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying he has to. I'm just saying, like, I look at him and I think if you're this crazy athletic, could you not be like more like Yoel Romero and less like Matt Mitrione?
I feel like sometimes that's actually a detriment.
No, for sure. Like, I don't want him to get like swole. I'm just saying, like, I look at him and I think, like, how much work is he putting it in? And he does get tired when fights go long. You've seen it. You've seen it a bunch throughout his career. And it's like, yeah, I mean, super dangerous for the first couple rounds, you know, but you know, are you going to be that guy who's known for getting tired and losing your fight? Like, you don't want that to happen.
You got to look at his body style and the way that he fights to really dig into it, because you know, it's funny. I was talking to Scott Plested, my nutritionist. He's also a personal trainer. You know, he's a guru with the body. But like, there's different types of bodies, right? Mm-hmm. There's people who have bodies where they're very tight, and there's people who have very loose bodies. I have a loose body, as in my joints are loose. I'm fairly flexible, right? And when I do things, like when I throw a punch, I'm very relaxed until, you know, boom, it lands. And there's people like, I don't know, let's say like, just Pat Healy, right? Very stiff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throws, you know, he's very, very stiff when he lands. Everything he throws is kind of slower. Or even Ryan Walker, right? Mm-hmm. Those are stiff bodies. But the thing is, those kind of bodies is you can actually put on muscle on those kind of bodies. Like their frames are, you can actually build muscle on those. Where like a looser body, like me, like where my joints, if I start like lifting a lot, or anything, I can tell my joints and stuff, I get really tight and stuff, and my punching slows down, my movement slows down.
That's a good point.
So there's different things, and in the way that he's on his feet and he's moving, that's exhausting.
Yeah, that's true.
That is exhausting.
That's true. I mean, he's very explosive. I mean, I think he'd be a great heavyweight champion. I just, you know,
I just want you to know for future reference, anytime you bring up anybody's body, right, for being like kind of fat or loose, I'm going to defend them to my grave.
No, you should.
Because I have that body, and there's nothing I can do. I love food.
No, I'm a big fat guy, man.
I'm just fucking with you.
You know, it's cool. Like, you know, I love to eat too, man. I mean, that's just how I am.
No, but I totally get what you're saying. No, it's kind of one of those, like,
that's why I say it like kind of like a question and not more of a statement. Cause I mean, I don't want to point my finger at him and say, hey, you're out of shape. Cause obviously he's not, he's in tremendous shape, but I just, my wonder is if you're this uber athletic guy, like, I just feel like maybe it would show more, you know, like, you know, physically, it's not, he would just look more physically intimidating. I think that's what a lot of people look at him and they think, okay, he's not all that intimidating when you look at him in the cage, but he's super fast, obviously hits super hard.
It's hard.
He hits super hard. I mean, his athleticism is what's winning him most of his fights, right? Like, that's why he wins. The problem is, like, if you rely on your athleticism, you're relying on your speed.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you will age. Yeah. And you will get slower, and then you will lose.
Yeah,
that's what happens. That is, you know,
that
what
is
I mean.
True. Yeah.
So that's why Floyd Mayweather is still as old as he is and can beat anyone in the world in a boxing match, but Roy Jones Jr. towards the end of his career could not.
That's a perfect
now,
example.
Now, does that mean Roy Jones Jr. is not one of the greatest boxers to ever walk the face of the earth? Absolutely not. And at one point in time, he could beat any heavyweight. He could beat any light heavyweight. He was super. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
But if you go boxer for boxer, Floyd Mayweather is
technically sound,
supreme.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the way it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, hands down I agree.
You know, you look at Tyson early in his career, didn't just rely on his power. You go watch old Mike Tyson fights, his movement was incredible and his body shots were really what won him most of his early fights. You watch him rip people to the ribs and these guys barely wanted to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, and then as he got older and he couldn't, you know, he wasn't doing quite stiff. As well. He got stiff and he was trying to rely on that power. The guys who were outboxing him were beating him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so I look at Matt Mitrione and I think like
is that the
if that
down?
Fades, what's going to happen to you? Yeah. You know? And so I look at him and I think, man, can you get in a little better shape? Like, but maybe not, you know, like maybe that's just his body and that's fine.
Well, I mean, he eats like an asshole. Like that's for sure. If you follow him on Twitter, he eats like an asshole.
Oh, there you go.
Like I tweeted at him once, cause I think he has a sponsorship with Wingstop and, he was tweeting about Wingstop. And I fucking hate Wingstop's fries. They're terrible. And I tweeted at him and I was like, I had respect for you. Now you're wings. I don't know. I said some cheeky shit. I was joking, but you know, I said something and he commented back. I fucking love those fries. Da, da, da. The point is, like, if you watch the stuff that he eats, like, he eats like a heavyweight. Like, he's like, oh, fuck, I ain't got to lose weight. Like, you know, I eat whatever I want. So
does that Daniel Cormier diet.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. you know, which, you know, right on. Good for them. Like, it, you know.
205-pound fighter with that heavyweight diet.
Yeah, exactly, right?
We all know somebody though like that, you know? Everybody knows someone like that.
Fucking Chell. He's a fast food junkie. Phil loves his Coke.
Like, really?
Oh, dude, yeah. Huh. Yeah. He will have a Coke at practice. He will be in between rounds drinking a Coke. His whole thing is calories in, calories out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you put yourself in a calorie deficit. That's what it is.
Yeah, right? That's what, you know, so, I mean, some people believe in that, some don't. I don't, you know, it's whatever works for them. Fuck it. As long as you're happy, right? So,
4-pack revolution, right?
Exactly.
It's a plug for you, man.
I was like, man, you should put me on the cover because that's all I can get is a 4-pack. I'll have a solid 4-pack for my next fight. I don't know if I'll ever have a 6-pack, but a 4-pack, I'm your guy.
Man, I'll take any pack at this point.
Any pack.
Oh, man, I got on this medication and the doctor was like, oh, this medication will make you lose weight, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So, you know, just kind of keep an eye on it. It's going to upset your stomach, blah, blah, blah. And immediately it upset my stomach. I was like, yo, I can't take this medicine. He's like, well, here's another version of it. Try this. And I started taking it and I have put on like 15 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like, this is the fattest I've ever been. And I'm like, I'm like, nah, there's nothing I can do. It's crazy. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
Shit.
So once I get off this stupid medicine, I'm gonna like, lose a little weight, and then I'll try to.
You're gonna buy an
Indie pack. I'm gonna buy Chael's book,
The 4-Pack Revolution, on Amazon.com right now. I'm just kidding. He doesn't sponsor me. Don't buy it. Yeah. So okay. So we covered Bellator.
Yeah.
Keeping it MMA, right?
And keeping it weight related.
Okay. Darren Till.
Darren Till.
3.5 pounds.
Is 3.5 pounds over for his fight that is about to go down against Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Which is
interesting.
He coming up 3.5 pounds over, apparently the UFC is defending him being over because he had some sort of family emergency, I guess. Hmm. He had to rush to the hospital to be with someone in his family. Something happened.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he had very limited time to try to make the weight. And he says, he claims that he makes no excuses, says it's his fault. He doesn't want the UFC telling people that this is what happened. Yeah. Granted, he told them and let them know, you know, I'll tell you what happened and then you guys can put it out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did say, to his credit, look, man, this is a part of the fight. The fight against the scale is absolutely a part of this fight, and I messed up.
Yeah.
And he even says that he offered up 100% of his purse. He says, I'd give him my entire purse if he wanted it. It's my fault. So, like, at least there's that. Like, in terms of being a stand-up guy, there's that.
Yeah.
You know, better than somebody who tried to make an excuse. He's saying, hey, man, this is on me.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's still, this is pretty funny. Go figure, Colby Covington had something to say about it. And there's a
filthy animal.
No, he called him a fat fuck and all kinds of shit.
No.
He's talking all kinds of shit. and he posted a picture, and it's Darren Till trying to make the weight. And he's got 1 foot on the scale and 1 foot like almost off the scale.
Oh, he was
like,
trying?
Yeah, there's a picture under the towel where he's got like just his toes on the scale and then his other foot on the scale.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Do people not know how scales work though? Yeah. Like now more of your weight is on your other foot. Like, I get it. Maybe you're going to get a couple ounces.
There are ways.
Like, if you can get your whole leg off of there, but like the rest of your body is taking some of that weight, man. Yeah. Like, but it was pretty funny. Like, Darren Till was like, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? You fat fucker. Like,
man.
I think it's habit. Like, everybody's going to do that, right? Like, just in that situation, you're going to be like, Huck, what do I do? Lift up 1 foot a little bit. Like, but
push on the towel.
Well, that's only going to happen one time, and that's done. Yeah. That isn't happening.
DC got it.
Again.
He got it. He got his one in.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm not mad at him about it. Like, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as the whole weight thing, like, you know, there's people debating on Twitter saying, you know, well, ever since the UFC implemented the whole early weigh-ins, more people are missing weight.
If 13 people or something like that missed
which is
in
true.
2018, that's a lot.
It's a lot of people, but, you know, at the same time, it's not as if the UFC just sprung this on you. Like, it wasn't like you had this fight and you're expecting to weigh in at 5 p.m.
No, that's true. I think you plan
accordingly.
Yeah, but the biggest hit to weigh-ins is the fact that they won't let fighters use IVs. And I think I have a big problem with that personally.
Yeah,
like, while I think it's good in a sense that people are gonna cut less weight, right? Like, the people who were like tweeners that were like, "Ooh, I'm gonna force myself to be 135 when I should probably be fighting 145."
Yeah,
you know, like those guys, I'm a little more worried about them because we've heard, you know, at those lower weight classes, since there are so many, people have tried to make lower weights. You're like Kenny Florian, and you know, he talks about how it was hell to try to make that weight at 135 that he fought at, which is absurd, you know?
You're talking about a guy. Did he make it down to 35?
Yeah. He's fought at 170, 155, 145, and 135 in the UFC.
Are you sure about 135?
So no, you're right. You're right. It was 85, 70, 55, 45.
Yeah.
But still, 45, fighting still, at 145, whatever. Nevertheless, that's a lot of weight classes. But you do have 55, 45, 35, 25. You have, that's a big range, right? And so those lower guys, those little guys, they try to cut a ton of weight and it's not healthy, and, you know, it sucks.
No, it sucks.
But for the guys who are fighting at 170 and they could never make 155, you're going to tell me that they can't, use an IV? Like,
yeah,
like,
man.
Ah, man, like, I think that kind of, that's kind of dangerous in and of itself to tell people they can't use the IV.
So, so my fight for Bellator was in California, right?
Uh-huh.
So California has implemented, like, I was stressing about this. They implemented this whole, like, weigh-in procedure. Like, they send you a chart. Like, I got the chart maybe, like, 2 or 3 weeks out before weigh-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you have to be within these ranges on these dates. So,
yeah,
you know, this is my first time making 55. So, this is a big cut for me. Like, honestly, I walk around like 195, no problem. Like,
yeah,
training, whatever. Like, right now I'm close to 200, but you know, I'm in the gym and I'm training and lifting. I mean, I'm not doing as much cardio, but I'm a big fucking boy. So, when I showed up that Tuesday my weigh-ins are Thursday, show up Tuesday, I have to be at 168 pounds on Tuesday
or below.
Yeah. 168 is the heaviest it can be. So I was stressing about that. I was able to do it, but I mean, it wasn't a cakewalk. Right. So I'm 168. And then also in California, you are not allowed to have IVs either. So Bellator doesn't care, but a lot of their shows are in California.
Yeah.
You know, so no IVs. So this is my first fight since I was an amateur, I think, without an IV after making weight, which I was kind of nervous about. But again, like my buddy Scott Plested, he was my nutritionist. He helped me out a lot.
Well, I will say you looked, you posted a photo of yourself from your prior fight making weight for this fight. And it's funny you did that because I was going to do the exact same thing and send it to you because you looked way better at this 155 cut than you did at your prior cut for 170.
Yeah.
And I heard you, it was funny. I was at your gym listening to you talk to Chael about cutting weight for the fight that you cut to that last 170 fight you had.
Yeah.
And even then you were like, man, I got to make this weight. Like you were talking about it. Like it was like that, like you were nervous about it. And so cutting to 155 and looking healthy, like that's a credit to you having this nutritionist. Like that's huge.
I tell you guys, Scott is a fucking wizard. Cause he is having me do stuff. I was like, what? All right, I'll try it. Like I surrendered completely and I just listened to what he said and what he did or what he wanted me to do.
You have to,
you know,
that's how you have to do it.
I just took a leap of faith. Right. Because I knew, I was like, I know I'm tough enough to where if this doesn't work out, I could do the whole fucking hardcore, you know, sauna, bath, whatever. Anyways, so I only had to cut like maybe 6 pounds, like of actual water weight.
Clean. That's exactly what you're looking for.
But the rehydration part, that's where I was kind of like, fuck, like, because also in California, the thing is, you can't get past a certain weight either. So I had to be... I couldn't get any bigger than 170, right?
For the next day, for the fight?
Next day. They check your weight again when you show up to the warm-up or whatever. So, but I weighed in at, I think I walked in at 175, maybe even bigger. I don't know. I remember the commission guy. He said something. He's like, you sure you should be fighting 55? I was like, I made the fucking weight, didn't I?
Right.
So I don't know if I'll get cleared to fight 55 again in California because that's one of the stipulations is if you come back too heavy that they can make it so, you know.
Yeah, but they would have told you.
Yeah, well, I was over the limit. And I know homeboy that I fought, Steve, I think he only weighed like 168, 170 when he showed up. So
He's pretty, I mean, and he's
He has a big upper muscular. Body. He has a big upper body.
Muscular.
Tiny ass legs.
Yeah.
Very small legs. So.
Yeah.
But my point is, not having an IV is very stressful on a fighter, and I think they should have it. But it also forces you to do it right.
Well, yeah, and it makes you fight closer to your natural exactly. weight class. Well, and so looking back, if we get back to the Darren Till, Stephen Thompson thing, the stipulation is that before the fight tomorrow, tomorrow being Sunday. He has to weigh in 188 or lower.
188, yeah.
And he says that he walks around at 210 pounds.
Right? That's crazy.
So he walks at 210, fights at 170, and, you know, he said it's going to be hard for him. He has the type of metabolism that he just puts the weight back on very easily.
Yeah.
And so he says it's going to be hard for him, but he's going to try, you know, but he can't make a guarantee. So the fight is still in jeopardy, even though it's agreed to. You know, I mean, that's going to be tough on him, you know, because now when he'd normally be rehydrating and getting ready to fight. You know, he's going to be still trying to maintain a weight cut. That's going to be a little bit tough. But, you know, I mean, it's not like they're asking him to cut off an arm.
That's fair. 190
pounds. But the other thing is, like, I feel like if a guy misses weight and you say, yeah, I agree, I'll still fight you for 30% of your purse, I feel like that's where the stipulation ends. You don't get to then tell him how much he has to weigh the next day.
That's where I could disagree with you.
I think that's bullshit, man. If you say, I agree that I'm going to take X amount of your purse to keep fighting, like, okay, you're over, but I'm getting your money, that's what you get. But if you want him to then do another stipulation, just ask for more money. Like,
okay,
like, you know you're going to fight. You're still fighting the same guy, man.
Here's,
like,
the thing. Have you looked at the stats on fighters who have missed weight and accepted the fight?
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of them, they end up winning, right?
Yeah.
A lot of guys will sometimes just go, you know what? I'm okay if I lose 20% of my purse because I'm going to have a little bit more in
me.
You know, it's not the fact of you're going to come in bigger. It's the fact that you didn't deplete yourself as much as the other guy.
Yep.
Right? So for Wonderboy to go, okay, you want to come in bigger, right? Well, I'm not going to let you just have this advantage on me, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he already has 3.5 pounds. 3.5 pounds, that's a lot of weight.
3.5 pounds is a lot, but realistically, like, even if they tell him, okay, don't worry about the 188-pound mark, mm-hmm. what's he going to get up to, 195? Like,
that's still big.
I know it's still big, but
it's 18 pounds.
What's Thompson going to weigh?
It's probably 188. I think that's why he said 188.
You think that's what it is?
He assumes
that's what he's going to walk in at.
I really think so. Because look, 170 to 188, that's 18 pounds.
Yeah, right? I got you.
You shouldn't be putting on more than 20 to 25 pounds.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like a lounge-ish thing. It wasn't like, well, he has to come in at 170 or 175.
No, of course.
Tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Of course. But he picked a spot that he knew was going to be problematic for him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Which,
like,
he should have.
You say 188. Can't you just say 190? Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, I get that. Yeah. But also, 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, that's true. I get it. I mean, and the other thing is, if Darren Till had a real family emergency that was going to pull him away, you call Dana White and you say, hey, man, I'm sorry, someone died and I can't fight tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whatever happened. I mean, I don't know if someone died. I don't know if someone got hit by a car. I don't know what happened. That's all I read was that he had a family emergency. And the UFC is backing him on it. You know, and credit to Darren Till. Like,
or,
I said,
he offered
up money. And
let him notify Wonder Boy's camp beforehand. There's always that, too. There's always, like, hey, this is what's going on. You know, are you cool if we do a catch weight? You know,
yeah,
that way
true.
The guy goes, all right, you know what? Cool. I don't have to cut that much weight. You know,
I'm going
to
have 5 pounds. I'm going to have 3 hours less to cut.
Yeah. Like if they both agreed at 175.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Like, there's things that, I mean, we weren't there. We don't know exactly all the steps that happened, but I also don't blame Wonderboy for saying, well, you guys want this fight to happen. Here's what I want.
I just feel like you asked for more money. You know, that's how I feel about it.
You asked for more money. Or, you know what he could have done? Is not accept the fight at all. You still get paid.
That's true.
You
but
get
then,
paid your show
yeah,
money.
Yeah, but then you get ridiculed by the UFC because that's how they are. That's how Dana
exactly.
White is.
So 30%.
I shouldn't say the UFC. I should say Dana White, right? Like you're going to get ridiculed by
well,
him for not accepting the fight, on and on.
You also got to think, too, in Wonder Boy's position, he's pissed off about the interim title, you know? So he feels like this should be, like, his fight should be for the interim belt.
That's so stupid. Look.
Oh, I know.
You had a draw and a loss for the title. You don't get to then have an interim title. Like,
right? Yeah.
That's so dumb. Of all people, you are last in line, bro. You lost to the champion. Like,
twice.
Like, take a hike. Well, I mean, they split. They had the split, the first one, whatever. It's a draw, but still.
Still,
like,
it's, yeah. Technically.
Yeah, you didn't win it. Mm-hmm. So you had two shots and you didn't win it. You're not getting an interim title. Like, give me a break. Yeah.
I think that's why, because he wants to get that other shot again. I mean,
no,
Till's dangerous too.
He's
young. Wonder Boy's up there in age. That's why his name shouldn't be Wonder Boy. But I don't know, man. It'll be an interesting fight. If I was a betting man, I'd put my money on Wonder Boy.
If the fight happens, Like if Till can stay at 188 and make the fight happen,
yeah,
I'm still going with Till. I'm still going with youth, really? and the momentum.
Yeah.
Like Wonderboy has, I mean, he did, what was his last fight? Didn't he win his last fight? You know, his last win was Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets the unanimous decision against Masvidal, but mm-hmm. that's not, I mean, granted, Jorge Masvidal is a great fighter.
Oh yeah, he's tough as well.
And if I recall correctly, Thompson like kind of worked him,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you still have Till who's, you know, he's just on this streak and he's got the win over Cowboy, and that's, you know, that
who else has he fought? Is Cowboy is only like his only big win.
Well, that's his biggest win for sure. I can look it up real quick. Yeah. His, Cowboy is for sure his biggest win, and he's really fought a bunch of people that you've probably never heard of. Yeah, like I don't even know how the hell you say this guy's name. Bojan Velichkovich.
How many fights has he had in the UFC?
He has had a bunch in the UFC. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fights in the UFC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean he's got some wins, and yeah. He's got a draw in the UFC, so he's 4-0-1. He had a draw against Nicholas Dalby. And then, but he's 6, so he's, you know, I mean, he's got a good record, you know, he's got 16 wins. He's not doing bad. He's got no losses.
He's legit.
You know, I mean, he's just got momentum, and he's younger, and he's,
yeah,
you know, I mean, we talked about it. He's got a good build for that division. If he can make the weight,
mm-hmm.
you know, his striking is sharp. He's explosive, you know.
Did you, so there's a meme going around that's like, you know, making fun of him because,
of Darren Till.
Yeah. One of his quotes, he says, it should be illegal that I fight at welterweight. He's like, they should make me fight at light heavyweight. And, you know, of course it didn't age well because
mm-hmm.
here he is. So
here he is. How funny.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's,
well, I think his future is definitely at 185.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's going to
these
go
young
up.
Guys who have trouble cutting weight, you're moving up. Like,
yeah.
You know, shit, Anthony Johnson used to fight at 170.
How crazy.
Right? Fought at 170.
That's
moved
blows
up,
my mind.
Missed weight.
Yeah, misses weight against
moves
Vitor.
Moves up to 205, misses weight.
Yeah. Did he miss weight at 205?
Yeah. Yeah, he missed weight at 205. Ends up fighting a couple fights at heavyweight.
Yeah.
And then he can make this 205-pound weight. It's so crazy. That's insane. This guy used to fight at 170.
All
it's
natural,
absurd.
Too.
Absurd.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, yeah, I mean... That's a good one to look forward to. I mean, unfortunately, it's on a Sunday, so we can't really talk about it today.
Yeah, whatever.
On who wins. But,
holiday weekend. Everybody's out there having a great weekend.
Oh, shit, that's right. It is. It is Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yeah, when you don't got that real job, every day is a Saturday, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, my grind is heavy. I got that Monday through Friday grind. Yeah. Whenever people at my work ask, like when people call, like, hey, what have you been up to, man? I always say, oh, just trying to cram 60 into 40, bro.
60 into 40.
That's what it is at my desk. I'm trying to cram 60 into 40.
Well, I mean, you did get a little bit of free time though this week, right?
A little bit.
You got to see some films.
Yeah, I did. I got to see a couple movies.
You want to give us your input?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about ratings.
Okay.
Last week.
Yeah.
And we were talking about what kind of rating scale we should have.
Okay.
I think I figured it out.
What?
Okay. We should have a split decision is like a 1. Hear me out.
I'm listening.
Hear me out. Okay.
I'm listening.
So then you have a split decision.
Okay.
You have a unanimous decision, which is like good, but it's still kind of boring. Right. Then you have a TKO or I'm sorry. You have a KO or a submission
mm-hmm.
would be a 3, which would be like, would be solid, right?
Okay.
Then you have a TKO referee stoppage. If it's a stoppage, it's like the best you could get. So it would be like, it would be split decision, unanimous decision, KO, submission, or referee stoppage. Because a referee stoppage, you're beating their ass. That would be like a 5.
You think so?
No, you don't think so?
Nah.
I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
I get it.
For 1
I
through
get it.
5.
But I would switch the KO and the
sure,
and
the KO and the
I think KO should be the best.
KO should be the best.
Yeah,
but what about a submission?
Render,
yeah, but I'm saying like a knockout and a submission are like
submissions are 4.
Submissions are 4. So yeah. So a TKO is a 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have split decision. Eh, you could go either way, right? Like, yeah. It's like, eh.
Or just, yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, I'm just trying to think in terms of fight finishes.
No, I get what you're saying. Ranking, I get where you're going with it.
Yeah, yes, unanimous decision is like, okay, this is you know, obviously this did the trick. Mm-hmm. Then you're saying a TKO is 3.
Yeah.
And then you're saying submission and then knockout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think rendering someone unconscious from their body is way more spectacular than, you know, getting someone to tap or a referee to stop it. Because you're making that guy's body give up.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like you could be losing a fight and knock someone out. And yeah. If you're just beating somebody up so bad that the referee has to pull you off, you probably weren't losing that fight.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
But we'll tool with it.
We'll figure it out.
Off mic. Okay. I thought of that last week. I thought, oh, that's kind of funny.
What if we did it like by pound for pound list, right? Like 5 would be a Mighty Mouse, 4 John Jones.
The problem is that list would always change.
Well, I mean, or we can do legends, MMA legends.
Yeah.
Right? Like Sakuraba could be like a 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. We'll figure it out, people. We'll
figure it out.
The point is.
But I finally saw Avengers and I saw Deadpool. I saw both of them.
All right. So I want to know.
I'll go over Deadpool first.
Let's go Deadpool. Yeah, I want to know Deadpool first.
I agree with you. Deadpool is good. Not as good as the first one. They, it's like, they try to do too much of this kitschy, like, mm-hmm. meta, like, oh, I'm looking at the camera and talking to you. Yeah. Wait, like, they did that too much.
Uh-huh. And they're like, trying to, what is that? Was that fourth wall? Third?
Yeah, yeah, they're breaking. Yeah, they're breaking that wall down. Yeah, totally. And like in the first one, you know, like you feel bad for him. There's like this emotional connection, and you like the build up emotionally is bigger. Mm-hmm. And like in this one, his wife dies. Who in the first one, he's
spoiler.
He anguishes. Yeah, whatever. Like, sorry if you didn't see it. But in the first one, it happens so fast, you're going to know right out of the gate. I mean, but in the first one, he's anguishing over the fact that he has cancer and he's breaking up with his girl or whatever. Like that's a huge, like, major thing in the first one. It's like a whole arc. He goes off and he gets the superpowers and then he's, mm-hmm. like, sulking. The whole thing, you know? Like, yeah. And then in this one, she dies, and he's like, man, I'm just going to go kill this dude, and then I'm just going to be fine. I'm going to go to the bar. Like,
here's the thing. They did address that, though, because he kept making those jokes about the writers.
He's yeah, like, I know.
How could you guys? You know,
I know, but just kind of funny. But again, then you're going back to it, and so it was like, I don't know. I thought it was fine.
No, I'd 100% agree.
I thought it was fine. It was really good, but mm-hmm. like if Deadpool 1 is a 5, then Deadpool 2 is like a 3.5.
Okay.
Like it's really good. It's just not like I'm not beating down the door to see it again.
Yeah,
like Deadpool
exactly.
1, I'll watch that.
If you're like,
hey, you want to watch Deadpool? Yeah, I do want to watch Deadpool.
But you know, I also I don't know about you, but Deadpool 3 comes out. I'm watching it.
Oh no, I'll still see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll still see it. But
I think it's a fun movie. I mean, I don't know much about the comics. I don't know how close you know.
It's pretty good.
Is it pretty close?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, obviously in the comic books he can't talk to the camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But they really hit what Deadpool is.
Okay.
In that movie. Like,
okay. So on a nerd scale, right, you give that a
the like, first one?
No, I'm saying like as in keeping it as close to the original story, not the story,
or,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah, the feel of the comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you give that?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah. No, it's overall. like a 9 or a 10. Like it was, to me, it's like in terms of keeping it real with the comics, mm-hmm. like it's probably the best.
Okay.
It's probably the best for my money.
Now, Avengers. Now I know this is it's a sensitive subject for you.
I have some problems with the Avengers, with Infinity War.
And, you know, I would love to hear it because when I saw your tweet, I was almost heartbroken.
Well,
but then again, I don't know the comics. So
my problem is they changed the story.
Okay.
So like,
and you did look it up, right?
They changed. I didn't have. Oh yeah. 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 I looked up to make sure that they were going off of the original Infinity Gauntlet story. Like, you know, that's what I was curious about. Like what exactly were they following, mm-hmm. you know? Cause there's the Civil War and there's all these different things that have happened in the Marvel world. So I wanted to make sure they're just following the original Infinity Gauntlet story, which they were, because there's like they've done some recent Thanos comics, and they've done, you know, they've done a lot of stuff with,
yeah, there's with a, them over the that's years. The thing with comics, it's hard, well, for me at least, it's hard to follow like storylines and this, it's hard to tell what is,
yeah, unless it's the definitive, like, yeah, like for example, if it's like Batman 1 through whatever,
yeah,
like, you know, okay, that's going to lead into the next one, or although with Batman it's kind of different because there's also Detective Comics, which is also Batman, it's kind of weird,
yeah,
but you know, like Wolverine 1 through whatever is still Wolverine 1 through whatever,
and like there's different I don't know if artist is the right term, but there's like different people who will input different storylines.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. You get different writers and for different arcs and so on and so on. But you know, if it's Deadpool 1 through 200, like it's going to still reference stuff, you know.
So that's
still going to take that. Yeah, exactly. It's canon.
Okay.
But they do these offshoot stories, you know, like Old Man Logan is a whole separate story from, you know, Wolverine 1 through whatever. So
that makes sense. I get that.
For Infinity War, my big problem is like Thanos is my favorite comic book character ever. Like there's Thanos and there's everyone else. Like I love him.
Yeah.
Like in terms of villains, like there are heroes that I like better. Like I like Swamp Thing more than any comic book ever. Mm-hmm. But like Thanos in terms of the Marvel universe, like it doesn't get any better than him. It's like Thanos, then maybe Doctor Doom is like kind of getting up there.
Really?
But like, yeah, okay. Doctor Doom is so tough. But Thanos is, he's just the shit. And the thing I like about Thanos is he's like, he's a dick. He's funny, like about being a dick. He's a little bit like you.
Oh,
like,
sweet.
Like he's kind of a jerk.
Wow.
Like, but he cracks jokes about it. But there is a softer side that like not everyone sees.
So there is a soft side to him in the comics.
There is a soft side to him in the comics, but here's the thing. So in the comic books, Thanos is not. So here's my major problem is they totally changed why he's trying to get these gems. So in the movies they call them stones, in the comics they call them gems. They changed why he's trying to get them. Like in the comic book, he's trying to impress his girlfriend. Like his girlfriend is the Lady Death. And he's trying to prove to her that he loves her, and she is death, so she doesn't give a fuck. She's like, what are you gonna do that I can't do? I can touch someone and kill them. You got nothing on me. And he's basically like, I'm gonna become a god. Help me get these stones. You help me, and I will do your bidding. I'm gonna kill people for you. I'm gonna change everything. Blah blah blah. Like it was all a love thing. It was like this sick love story, and like, and I don't mean sick as in good. I mean sick as in twisted. Like it was this twisted love story, and when he kills off half of the universe, it is not for population control, which is what they do in the movie. Like that's not what it is, and so. In the comics, there's a moment he snaps his fingers and he kills half of the universe. And here's the problem. In the comic, there is a person who guards the galaxy, like who's out in the universe protecting things. That is the Silver Surfer. And the Silver Surfer is not in this fucking movie. And I don't know if someone else owns the rights to the Silver Surfer or something, because someone said they couldn't use him
because he's in the Fantastic Four, right?
I don't give but
that shitty fucking franchise, whatever that was.
But
fuck.
Well, but they just did it wrong, because Fantastic Four could be great, but Silver Surfer is supposed to be there, and Silver Surfer feels this terrible internal anguish, and the weight of the universe on him as half of the population dies, like you know, and it's like this big thing where he has this like psychosomatic moment. His head is just like swollen with this intense anguish and pressure from all these people dying, and like that is missing. You're missing a key character. But not only are you missing that character, there's the one of the most important characters. The other person who has had the Infinity Gauntlet is a guy named Adam the Warlock. And Adam the Warlock was created in the comic book. Someone creates him to be the protector of the Soul Gem. And he is not there. He's not there. So Thanos has to get this gem from Adam the Warlock. And so in this movie, he goes to a fucking cliff and kills his daughter and he just gets a gem. Yeah, he
gets it from that's Red Skull.
That's a million times easier. Like, are you kidding me? And so then I read about it and the guys who did the movie, they were like, oh, well, we thought it'd be too difficult to introduce another character. Like, we'd practically have to make another movie. So we just didn't do that. Like, that's wow. that's some Star Wars caliber laziness.
Okay, I got questions for you. So this warlock guy, right?
Uh-huh.
What, does Thanos have to like fight this dude? Like,
They fight it out
for the souls.
Exactly.
And he didn't have to make a sacrifice. That was just something.
Well, he does kill his daughter, and I don't remember, I haven't read the comic book in a long time. I don't remember if killing his daughter is part of the way he retrieves it, mm-hmm. but he has to get it from Adam the Warlock. He has to get it out of his head, just like they do with Vision, okay. right?
Yeah.
It was frustrating, and they made him kind of a pussy, you know. They make him like, oh, you know, I'm there's this softer side to me, and I'm like, I don't mean to be this bad guy. Like, yeah. Like, dude, in the comic books, he's off floating around on a throne in space with death and inferno, and he's like, he's just killing shit, you know. I mean, they should have had him beat more people up. They should have had him do a lot more.
Yeah.
But they did get some things right, you know. Like, they let him win. Right? Well, they let him win, right? He gets the gauntlet, you know. Yes. So that's the most important thing, because, you know, in today's movie, like, that mm-hmm. doesn't happen. That's why people freak out about this. Oh man, can you believe Thanos killed whoever and whoever and whoever, and you know, like that's a hugely important thing. And they did get that, you know, he has this deep connection to his daughter, and that's really important. You know, and they did get his they did get like his size and his clothes and the way he looks. They got all that right.
Okay.
You know, which is important, because like,
yeah, which is what you were saying last week. Well, I don't know if you said
about
the show,
about Apocalypse, yeah. in X-Men Apocalypse. He didn't look quite right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I mean, all things aside, I really liked it. If I take it in stride, if I take it as like, okay, this is just a movie. I can't hold it to a comic book that is near and dear to my heart. Like, it just happens to be something that I really love, you know? You know, if I push that aside, it's incredible. You know, it's a great movie. It was really, I mean, it was a really fun watch. It went by really quick,
right?
Even though it was super long. You know, I could have done with less jokes. You know, like, I don't need the Guardians of the Galaxy jokes all the time.
So are the Guardians of the Galaxy are in the comics. So everyone that's in the movie, are they all in the comics?
No, not everyone. No. But you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. You know, but it was really good. I mean, you know.
Interesting.
Like,
I really want
to. I'd give it a submission if a submission is a four. Okay. Is that right?
You give it a 4 out of 5?
Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5. I would tap out to watch this movie.
Okay.
You know, it was good. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm glad you at least liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
No, they're going to make. Okay. So they're obviously going to make another one.
Uh huh.
Correct.
Uh huh.
There was something I saw on the internet. Now, I don't know. I doubt they'll do this in the movie, but Thanos captures Hulk, or makes Hulk his basically his dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes him eat Captain America. That's pretty fucking hardcore.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, he turns like people into zombies. He does all kinds of messed up stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Thanos is twisted.
Yeah.
Thanos is sick and twisted.
That's. Yeah. That was the thing, like, I saw. I was like, oh shit, that's fucking intense, man.
Yeah,
like,
man. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. I mean, there's all these, like, there's a lot of arguments about Thanos, because, like, oh, is like, the idea is he's essentially become a god.
Yeah,
you know, and he was already super powerful, so mm-hmm. it's like there's really no stopping him, right? Because even without the Infinity Gauntlet, he's super tough to beat.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all these like, oh, could so-and-so beat Thanos? And
well,
were there times where Thanos would have lost, or this person could have beat Thanos? There's a lot of arguments about like his power, but whatever. That's some uber nerd shit.
All right. Captain Marvel. What the fuck is that? There was a Captain Marvel in DC, but is now Shazam, right?
Yeah.
And then Captain Marvel in Marvel is a chick.
Yes.
Which is very confusing. I mean, I guess
it's not really that confusing. You just explained it, but for a lot of people, it was tough because Shazam. Yeah, exactly.
I just would not expect the name to be Captain Marvel, but I guess that's me being sexist. right? So like
I think Captain Marvel as a name in general is stupid when you're with Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
I think that's dumb personally. And like really you already have a Captain America. You don't need a
Captain another
something
captain.
Else.
Another captain.
Come up with a better name, you know? There's a lot of things you could come up with, but superhero names generally are not great.
No.
But, you know, like the Thanoses of the world and the like the Vision and Inferno and all these people there and like Magneto, like these guys in the 70s were just creating essentially like psychedelic space aliens. Yeah. And that's why their costumes are like purple and green and weird. Yeah. And you're just like you look at it and like you look back at it and you kind of laugh. But then you look at like today's artists on it and it's not the same.
Do you, another question I have for you, sorry, I'm nerding out. So the X-Men are they relevant in this universe? Like, are they, is that a thing?
No, X-Men are relevant in the Marvel universe.
So that universe where Thanos is in, X-Men exists too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they don't join.
Well, so there are people who are like X-Men people who essentially are like tied in with Avengers and stuff, but they're not all in the storylines because
it's so big. That's
too
what
many people
that's and what becomes, fascinates me.
It becomes essentially space politics. Yeah. And that's why some people don't enjoy Marvel Comics,
really,
because it just becomes like a nightmare to read. Like they recently put out an Avengers line, and then they put out one called New Avengers, and it's it was very confusing. And like one line had a bunch of Thanos stuff and Doctor Strange stuff, and the other one didn't. And, you know, and that's another thing. Doctor Strange.
I don't like Doctor Strange.
Oh, you don't like him in this movie, but let me tell you what: in the comic book, you would fucking love Doctor Strange.
Really?
Yeah.
He just seems like it's just a weird power.
Oh, dude.
I don't know.
No, he's dude. Doctor Strange in the comic books is the shit.
He's just this magician and he hangs out with like a monk or something.
Oh, dude. No, he's so much more than that. Oh, yeah. he's so dark.
But, well, he's supposed to have the most powerful mind in the universe, right?
Yeah.
Which, again, I did some searching and I found out that Doctor Strange actually gets his mind. He gets broken.
Oh, Doctor Strange
by that homeboy.
Yeah, Doctor Strange gets fucked up in a lot of scenarios, but there's so much more we could talk about with that.
Yeah, I'm actually planning on this weekend at some point going down and getting some comics. I'm more interested in the whole Thanos gauntlet fucking thing more than anything else. Like
can get one book. I might even have it. If I have it, I'll give it to you.
Fuck yeah.
Anyway,
I'm getting geared up to get ready to fight again. And my thing is when I get into camp or fighting is I always resort to anime or something nerdy. I don't know why.
To get your hype.
But it gets my mind off fighting. Like if I'm not at the gym, like I want to be occupied. Like I don't like thinking about fighting. I don't like going to fights. I don't even really enjoy watching fights anymore. So I resort to fucking fiction life, you know?
That's smart. That's a good idea.
I mean, it just happens. You know, I'll just fucking go down a rabbit hole. Like right now, Thanos and that whole universe, it's consuming me. I talk about it every fucking day with somebody. I'm not kidding. Like Scott, me and Scott, we're buddies, and I was talking to him. I was like, man, we need to go down. We need to go get some comic books. Da 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 da.
You need to call your buddy Dave Jansen. He's got all the old X-Men comic books.
Does he?
Yeah.
See how?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Enough about comic books.
Man, I'm hyped about it. Like, I want to just talk. I wish we just had a nerd podcast. Like, we just talked about anime
have a nerd podcast where I play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, which you know, fun fact, people know this. I was called in as a backup quarterback just in case someone fell off.
Yep.
So I never got to step in, but maybe one day I'll get to play some D&D.
It's super fun. You can listen to my other podcast. It's called Murder Dice. You can go download that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's famous as shit on that one.
Yeah, definitely. More people listen to that than this, but whatever. Anyway, I think that'll cover it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. If you want to hit us up online, do it. Hit Jacob at Uber Smitty on Twitter, Instagram, everything. You can hit me up on Twitter at David Golden MMA, Facebook, same thing. We're here to, you know, answer your questions or talk about something that we didn't talk about that you want us to talk about. So, until we meet again, we'll talk to you guys next time.